morning briefly. If you were looking for a mountaintop video, you might have it, but you won't have the good one. That'll be Tuesday at noon. So if you're retired or if you can break away, if you'll come up to the camp, we have our fall luncheon on Tuesday. And I promise you it'll be a wonderful meal. The trees are looking good. They're not great. They're good. They're actually just beginning to change colors, or they're dropping due to the heat. But we still have a lot of color or green up there as well. But the rain's definitely helped refresh things. But if we have time, we will show you a video possibly at the end. But this morning, I'd want to share a little bit update, if you will, Jack and I, and then kind of work that into the revelation that kind of we had, and hopefully you'll be able to identify with that. But I want us to consider this morning the thought of, what am I passionate about? Think about that. What are you passionate about? You know, if you really think about it, if you're married, at some point in your life, you were passionate for someone, and that someone's probably your spouse. You could be passionate about your parents or with your parents. Some of us are passionate about our occupation. We're hard workers. Some of us are passionate about our hobbies. Some of us are passionate about a lot of jerseys. I get to travel a good bit in airports, and it astounds me as to how many people are wearing jerseys today. It really is overwhelming when you look at it. But we're passionate. Well, what is passion? How do we describe it? How do we define it? Well, thank goodness we have dictionaries, and it says passion is defined as a strong and barely controllable emotion. Wow. Strong and barely controllable emotion. Now, let's think about it. What are you passionate about with that definition? You know, as I thought about this term, and we thought about it a lot, you know, passion has a lot of ramifications to it. It can be good. It can be bad, depending on what your passion is. Passion can be offensive or defensive, if you really think about it. Your passion can control your thoughts, control your plans. It can even control your actions. Your passion can require a lot of time or very little time. You know, passions also have a cost. Time, possibly money, energy, devotion, security, sacrifice, and no doubt there's others. So what's my point? My point is, we all have a passion. We're all passionate about something. What is that something? And the real question really is not, do I have passion, but where is my passion? Where's your passion? Scripture tells us in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. And here it is. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I put that in all your ways. That's passion. And that's the verse that played a lot of significance in a lot of our last several years of walking on this earth, Jackie and I. And this is a combined, don't really want to call message, maybe testimony. My wife has approved it. She's read it. She knows what most of what I'm going to say, okay? Now, you know, a lot of times what we say means something to someone, something different to another person. Yesterday I went and I needed a haircut badly, so I popped into one of these places and, you know, quick in, quick out, and, well, I wasn't too quick out, as you can tell. And so I walked in, and the lady says, "How would you like it?" And I said, "Well, I'm really way overdue." So she says, "Oh, you wear it short then." I said, "Well, yeah, I wear it short." "Well, not this short, okay?" So my short and her short were two different things. But, you know, I realized something. You know the difference between a good haircut and a bad haircut? There you go, 2 to 3 weeks, and it'll work its way out. So we're just thankful. So, you know, sometimes we say words that, you know, mean different things. But when we considered, when I say we, Jackie and I considered recently what is our passion. You know, we started looking back over our life together. And let me tell you, most of you know us, but Jackie and I, we kind of knew each other in a real good way for 6 years before we made that commitment of marriage. So we dated for 6 years. So we knew each other quite well. And so well that we had actually started doing things together in our local assembly. And so we would head certain things up. But as we looked over our lives, we said, you know, where is our passion, our true passion? And you know us. Well, FBC was on the list. Family was on the list. NC State was on the list. Maybe not after yesterday, but they were on the list. Skyland Bible Conference was on the list. Serving the Saints was on the list. Children's work was on the list. Mountaintop Youth Camp was on the list. Work definitely was on the list. And then the all-encompassing sports and activities, the golf, the hunting. And by the way, we had the privilege of seeing 11 deer inside or in our backyard this morning. And yes, the thought occurred, would they miss one of them? But we sat and watched them, and they were still there when we drove off. I mean, two of them was inside the fence and even inside my garden fence. So, but they're good creatures. You had fishing, softball, golf, racquetball. There's a lot of stuff that we took part in, and that list could probably go on. But really, in our short married life, and we got married in 1980, so that's a little while, there was a common thread in all of these activities as we began to look at our life. Well, what caused us to think about our passion? Well, as you know, we experienced kind of a life-changing direction in our family. You know, we had something tragic come upon us quickly, and it causes you to reflect and to consider, you know, what are you doing? And so Jack and I started to discuss the brevity of life. And we all know what Scripture says, life is but a vapor, but do we live it? We have to say we probably were not living it. Are you living it? Could you live the fact that maybe today is your last day on the earth? You know, is there things we need to do? Is there things we need to correct? And so all these things were rolling through our minds. And one of the things that we were committed to, as you heard from that list, was we wanted to do the Lord's will, no matter what that was. And so we started to consider that word passion. Okay, that's going to drive us because that's our motivation. So of all these things, where's our real passion? Well, you know, first thing, we knew that, you know, we're not special. We're just normal people. We're a normal couple. You know, we really don't have any spectacular gifts or abilities. We don't sing. You know, we don't do anything that you'd say, wow. There was no wow factor within us, and we acknowledge that. But one thing we knew, that we wanted to serve the Lord, and we knew the Lord had a purpose for us to serve Him. And what we decided was we wanted to serve Him wherever. And, you know, that can be challenging. And so this led us to do a lot of soul searching. And so as we made this list, we actually redefined that list. And with much prayer and discernment, we started saying, okay, what have we done in the past? Well, back at Northgate Bible Chapel in Durham, We were youth leaders, Awana leaders, Sunday school teachers, Sunday school superintendent at Mountaintop. We were senior team athletic director. We were a board of director, a counselor, and we volunteered a lot. At Fairbluff, you know what we did here, Sunday school teacher, superintendent, Awana, youth leader, deacon, elder, Skyland Bible Conference, activity director, nursery director, convener. Well, do you see a trend in there? Well, we did. And the trend was we were always connected with saints and youth. Notice youth leader, Awana, Sunday school teacher, youth leader, Awana, Sunday school teacher, activity director. We were always involved with youth. And so Jackie and I started saying, okay, we know the Lord wants us to get involved in youth because that's what it is. No, we're not young. So what can we offer for that? In our day, we could go out and run with them and do things. Today, we don't do that. We observe. We watch. So we can truly say that as we started praying about these things over the course of time, that this is not our plan. Because we can tell you, our plan incorporated Fairbluff Bible Chapel. We can tell you that beyond a doubt. We've seen the Lord work that way. We had been given the opportunity to move several times, and honestly, the reason we did not move was because of Fairbluff Bible Chapel. It wasn't because of the job. It wasn't because of parents or family. It was because of this place, the people here. That's why we never moved. But to say that we were surprised at the Lord's direction is really an understatement in the fact that this is really, yes, we had a desire. Yes, we had a burden, but no, it was not our direction. Matter of fact, I'll just be up front with you. I was actually priming another brother and his wife to do what we do. So I was actually advocating somebody else to do what we're doing now. So as you can tell, it kind of hit me. And when I was approached with it, I kind of laughed it off and said, you know, that's not us. Well, you know, that's not for us. And so when the Lord revealed that he wanted us to be more of a part of Mountaintop Youth Camp, I can tell you we actually struggled with that. It was personal. And I've got the Joe Norman disease now. And so you might see that. That's emotions. And so, but we knew that this direction would cause change in our lives. We knew that this direction would separate us from you guys. We knew it. A church that we love, a church that we were active in. We got here in probably 1983, 84, the best my mind can tell me. We knew that friendships, both in the chapel and also around in our neighborhood, would be strained, maybe even severed due to distance. Honestly, we knew that we would have to write a letter to you guys, and that was tough. And then you throw in the unknown. What are we going to do? Again, where is your passion? But we knew this, that the Lord was directing us. He was opening doors. He closed doors. And we knew that this was our passion. And so we knew that, you know, we had to follow his leading. So in the last 3 to 4 years, and I've lost count, probably 4.5 to 5 years, but I've been doing a lot of my, quote, extracurricular time helping with the camp and help administrate from, I call it, from afar. I could do it from Charlotte for a good while, and then it became apparent with all the stuff that was happening that there needed to be more activity on the camp premise itself. And so that's where we've been, is at camp. Matter of fact, just concluded a week of girls' camp. Homeschool girls camp, about 65 total, left the mountain yesterday right at noon. And I tell you, I heard some singing that I wished I would have been smart enough to use this little gadget and record it. You talking about beautiful. It was wonderful. And I thought they were playing a CD or something. And it was three girls harmonizing, and it was fantastic. But you know, how did this all come about? Well, I've been on the board of directors for Mountaintop for some time, and I apologize to the elders. The elders know this. They've heard it. For about 25 or so years, maybe 30 years. So I've been active in the administration side of it. Recently, in the last 15 years, I've been active on the executive committee where we really run the day-to-day. You get into the nitty-gritty. So this past year has really been a change for us. You saw it because that's when we made the commitment to the Lord. The Lord, we're going to obey you, and we're going to do it. And it's really been wonderful. I shared with Lauren the other day, I can't tell you some of the things that we've seen, but I can truly tell you I've seen the hand of God open doors wide open, and I have seen him slam doors slam tight. It's amazing to see how things work and in his world. And it's something that, you know, a lot of times we don't see or don't recognize, but it's been amazing. Just this past year, we've had over 200. This is just summer, our homeschool 2 weeks, and then our summer camp, our 7 weeks of summer camp. So 9 weeks of camp, we've had over 200 volunteers help administrate the camp weeks. We had a high water mark this year of over 800 boys and girls coming to camp. And I can tell you, that is a high water mark for us. And we're delighted to see the Lord bringing in the lost. Now, typically, back when we were, it was a ratio of 70% assembly, 30% outside or non-assembly. Today, it's probably 20% assembly, 80% outside. So it's truly a mission field up there. We gave out numerous Bibles. There's one couple that has said, if you give Bibles out and whenever you need them, let me know and you'll get more. So we have an infinite supply of Bibles we can put in the hands of boys and girls. There was roughly, and we don't count this because you never know the heart of boys and girls, there's roughly 50 professions that we know this summer of that 800, roughly. We don't know how many, more or less. But we also know there was probably at least twice that amount that was counseled or encouraged to turn, that had professed salvation and had gone the way of the world and then turned their lives. And so to just be a part of that, to see lives changed, is really spectacular. From a physical nature, we say thank you to Fairbluff, because listen to this. You guys don't know, a lot of you don't come up. But if you would come up into our lodge, and many of you remember the lodge, if you would look up, not only do you have new lights here, we have new lights up at the lodge, and it's a courtesy of Glenn and Peter. They came up and put in new LED lights into the lodge and did all the wiring as an activity. Our Hispanic brothers came up and painted the whole facility. And, you know, they do like they do best. They came, they swarmed in, they painted, and they left. I mean, it was amazing how quick they did it. So the whole camp looks different. It's a new color if you've not been up there. We have new roofs on cabins 1, 2, 3, and 4, metal roofs, and we're hoping to do even more. And then we installed LED lights in the game room and also in the kitchen. So a lot physically has gone on. Now, we didn't do that. We just helped with that. Help administrate it, line it up, and just do the administration part. So a lot of you say, well, what are you doing? Well, that's what we're doing. The last several weeks, I've been walking the mountain. And I can tell you, I walked a lot of that mountain this summer, looking at property lines. We had two neighbors that had to survey their property, and we realized that their survey and our survey didn't agree. Matter of fact, they overlapped. Well, that's kind of a problem. And so we said, okay, let's figure out what's right or what can we do. You know, because in the old days, they actually would pull a chain. All the measurements are by chains. A chain is 60 feet long. And in the measurements, you don't normally see the term 2.5 chains. Well, you would knew would be what? 60 times 2, 120, and a half of that is 150. Bam, I got it. It doesn't say it that way. It says two chains. And then your neighbor's property could say two chains. So you got a 60-foot over. Just on, and they literally pulled a chain over a mountain. Well, the mountain kind of rolls. We had another, matter of fact, our big neighbor, radio tower, the relay station up on top, they had a state legislation that they had to pull more power up there, and so they had to get their line surveyed. And even though we had two surveys from 55 and I think it was 72 from them, and we all identified on a particular corner, their new survey was not on that corner. So we had to go find a rock with a cross in it. So I'm looking in the woods for a rock with a cross. And we had found it a couple years ago. We'd looked for it for many years, couldn't find it. And, you know, normally you would think of a cross, you know, a big, well, that cross was that big. Now, I don't know if you can remember, but if I can put you where it's supposed to be, and to say a rock with a cross is like saying there's a fish in the ocean, because we grow rocks, okay, up there. Well, we found it, and sure enough, we were in negotiations, but it takes lawyers, and we were trudging through the woods in the rain the other day with lawyers, and walking it and trying to determine, okay, how can we compromise? Because, you know, obviously, they're embarrassed. We got two of their own surveys that says rock with a cross. And so we're trying to figure that out. So you ask, what do I do? That's what I do, okay? And work with a lot of people. But we have to say thank you for what you have done at Mountaintop Youth Camp. And I would be really totally embarrassed if I were to walk away here and say thanks, not to say thanks, because many of you are active in the ministry, cooks, directors, counselors, volunteers for helping, game directors, and the list can go on. And last but not least, prayer. Y'all are praying for us, and we appreciate that. So, where was our passion? Our passion was with young people. And we thought it would be here at Fairbluff, but the Lord kind of said, no, we want you to go somewhere else. And so, that's where we are. Our passion is with young people. It's just located at Mountaintop Youth Camp right now. And again, what's our guiding light? We're trusting in the Lord with all our hearts. We're leaning not into our own understanding. And hopefully, in all our ways, our passion will be directed by Him. So I was going to show you a video. My wife said, you won't have enough time. We're out of time. We're right on time. So Glenn, Steve, I'm not going to show it. And so come up to the camp on Tuesday and you'll see it. Otherwise, I'll pop back down, and if I get an opportunity, I'll share a little bit about what the weeks have gone like this summer. But again, pray for us. It's strange. What you don't see, you don't see us here. That's obvious. You don't see our loss, which is you guys. And we miss you. We'll tell you that. And that's a lonely feeling sometimes. You don't realize it until you're in there. I mean, you know, just seeing everybody week after week and interacting week after week. You don't see that. But what we do see, we get to see a lot of different people. We get to see a lot of different assemblies. I was thinking, if I was to ask you, what's the newest assembly in North Carolina, would you know that answer? There is a new assembly in North Carolina, or relatively new. I'm not going to give you the answer. Find out. It's not Randleman. With Stephen Harrell's newer than that. So, but we get to see these things and be a part of some of it. We get to spend some time with other saints on Sundays. This past year, we spent a lot of time during the summer camp at Mountaintop Youth Camp, having the breaking of bread there. And I can tell you, it's just thrilling to hear young men participate. We're trying to groom them to go back into their local assemblies and to take part. We just had a week of camp called Extreme. And go. You can see all these videos on our website, by the way, but it'll go on to the... And I want you to do it, because it's extreme. We turn in at night. We're not extreme. This is extreme. I mean, they're running at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, wide open. And get up at 8 in the morning. They don't sleep half a day. It's wide open. All up and down that mountain. We can hear them. Matter of fact, weekend, we were up there, and Jack said, they're going to come in the trailer. Because, I mean, they were all they were doing the scavenger hunt, and we could hear them. They were all over us. You know, I said, hey, that's all right. We'll be all right. Say, hey, you know. But go on that. That week, I actually, with another brother, we insisted that we do a breaking of bread. Now, this week is college kids. Most of them are not assembly. So what we just experienced this morning is very strange to them. And so we said, hey, and the director says, you know, it might be awkward. I said, just trust me. Let me handle it. And I just prayed, Lord, give me the right word. Help me to be able to quickly introduce what we're doing, and let's do it. Well, I did in what I call the Greensboro fashion, the Shannon Hill fashion. Now, get this. They have a squared circle. I've never figured that term out yet, but it's a square. And you put the table in the middle. And so we did that whole lodge, and we had roughly, I don't know, 80 to 90 college kids around that square. And boy, was it wonderful. I can tell you, the director, who was very apprehensive about doing it, we even had to rework the schedule. I said, he came up instantly afterwards. He said, that was fantastic. So the Lord can work in small ways. You never know what the seed we plant. So the challenge I leave with you this morning is, where's your passion? Where's your passion with spiritual things? I can tell you it'll cost you. Jackie will tell you it'll cost you. But I can tell you the reward is so much more. I mean, we see so many things that we would have never seen sitting here and being active. Being active is a good thing here. Don't get me wrong. Your place, hopefully, is here because we want to see Fairbuff thrive and grow. That's our desire. It was great to hear about your weekend activity, and we apologize we couldn't be here, but that was that senior weekend that we were at. We had already committed into that. So, again, where's your passion? Don't let it be on earthly things. And I have to say, so many times we, and I include myself, we let earthly things control our passion. Don't let it control our passion. If life is short, and we all agree that it probably can be, we're not sure how many days our numbers are on our days, but let's use it for the Lord. And so the encouragement is, use your passion for the Lord. Let Him direct your path. Now, I know we do in a general sense, but let's be focused. You know, let Fairbluff be the center of your passion if that's the Lord's will. Be committed. Be here. Be involved. I can tell you from the elders' viewpoint, they would welcome that. You know, get active. Help us. Get in the neighborhoods. Let's grow this assembly to His honor and to His glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your fact that You loved us enough to give us the most precious that You could ever give us, and that was our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we would have asked for a gift, it would be something much different. It might have been wisdom. It could have been riches. It could be fame. But You knew what we needed. You knew that we had a sin issue. You also know sin had to come and die. That spotless lamb had to be sacrificed and say, the privilege of honoring Him by remembering Him. Lord, again, we say thank You for being God. We know that He died, He was buried, and He rose again. We know He's in heaven interceding on our behalf. Your word has told us that You will every need we have. You will give us the strength. You will make the pathway clear. Help us. Times can go. We know Psalm 23 well. Help us to fear no evil. Help us not to let fear hinder us from being a part of Your work, being a part of Your will, Your direction. So, Lord, we do pray for this assembly. We humbly say, Lord, continue to bless it. It has a rich heritage. We know that we can be a light in this neighborhood. It was demonstrated just a few weeks ago. We know that the culture that we live in, the society, has nothing to do with you. Help this place be that beacon where those can come and to know that you are a God of love and that you love them. So, Lord, we say thank you for all this. We say thank you for each one here that consciously prays for one another, that loves one another. And we do lift up our brother James. I notice he's not here. He's normally here, so I don't know, but just pray for brother James. And Lord, as we dismiss, we just say thank you for loving us so. Thank you for letting us be a part of your work, no matter where that part is. Help us to use our passion for your glory. In your name, amen.